In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 and 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with the promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth.
Good morning, church. And happy Father's Day. For all you dads, you know, biological dads, stepdads, adoptive dads, foster dads, honorary dads, granddads, all of you who are shaping and molding our young people, we honor you and celebrate you today. Honor your mother and father. So happy Father's Day. This morning, to do that, we're going to look at a psalm. It's Psalm 128. It's a short little six-verse psalm. It's kind of interesting because it's a psalm of ascent. And if you look at your heading for your psalm, it might have that in your Bible, a psalm of ascent, which means this was a psalm that the Israelites would sing as their king ascended to his throne. It's kind of interesting. We have a dad song as a king would ascend to his throne. The idea there is that the king of Israel is really a father figure for the nation of Israel. The idea is that the nation of Israel is only as strong as its weakest family. And so the call is to strengthen our families and to strengthen the bond and to strengthen the relationship. And so as the king would find his way up to the throne, they would sing this song of what a proper father would look like, or in our more casual vernacular, what a good dad might look like. And so we're going to use this psalm to give us a reference for what it means for being the best dad. What does the scripture point out to us as being the best dad? So let's read Psalm 128 together. It's on the screen. Blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in his ways. You will eat the fruit of your labor. Blessings and prosperity will be yours. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your sons will be like olive shoots around your table. This is the man blessed who fears, thus is the man blessed who fears the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion all the days of your life. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem, and may you live to see your children's children. Peace be upon you, Israel. So what does it mean to be the best dad, to be the best possible dad? Well, first of all, that means making family a priority, making family a priority. If you look in verse 3, take attention to where are the blessings for this good father located. Where do you find those blessings? Verse 3, your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your sons will be like olive shoots around your table. So in the days of the psalmist, the heartbeat of the family was the house. That was where they gathered. That was where they communed. That was where they lived life together. In fact, the King James renders verse 3, your wife should be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house. Exactly what the psalmist is talking about. In the inmost part, the American Standard says. Now, in those days, several generations of family would live under one roof. There would be the patriarch and the matriarch, the oldest husband and wife, and they would be the ones who reigned over the family. And they would have their sons with them, and the sons who were married had their daughters-in-law with them. They would have their young children and the daughters who have yet to marry. They would have their children, their grandchildren, their great-grandchildren. This would be an extended family under the roof. And so the idea here is, blessed is the man who makes the house important, who makes the home important. Fathers are great fathers when they make their home a top priority. Now, just as in today's world, in that world, fathers, heads of the household, men in the household had a responsibility. They had to go out and make a living, whether it was carpentry or whether it was farming or ranching, whatever they did, they had to go out and make a living for their family. So it's not as though they could sit at home all day long, but their job was, you need to make sure, no matter what you do to provide for your family, that the heart of your family is your home, and your home has a heart. And there is a message that's still right for you and me today. Nothing outside the home is right if things are not right inside the home. So fathers need to make spending time with their families a top priority. Can you guys advance the slide for me once? Now, we talked about men who have a responsibility outside the home. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10 says, if a man will not work, he shall not eat. The idea here is that if, gentlemen, you and me as men in our house, if we have the ability to earn a living, then we need to be doing that. We need to be out using whatever gifts and talents God has given us, whatever skill sets we've developed, to work and support and to support our family. Because if we're not willing to work, if we can and won't, then we ought not eat either. But jobs, and this is what may be tough for some of us guys, jobs not the most important part of who we are. Our jobs ought not be what define us. It's not the most important part of our family pursuit. If we have a family, the most important role that you and I will ever fill is being the spiritual leader in that family, being the one who brings the spiritual guidance into the family. We need to be spending time with our families in prayer, spending time with our families in worship, spending time with our families in Bible study. We need to make time to spend time with our families and God. When we spend time with our families and they see us trying, imperfect as we are, trying to implement what we read in Scripture, what we see in Scripture, what God defines as a godly man, a godly husband, a godly father, a godly person, when they see us striving to implement that in our lives and becoming what God's called us to be, then we set the standard, we set the pattern, and we set the foundation for them to follow that same model. They may not follow us in our career path. If they do, that's wonderful, but we certainly want them to follow us in our faith walk. And we need to be the ones who set the example for that faith walk. Being the best dad. Being the best dad not only means making family a priority, it also means walking with God. Verse 1, blessed are those who walk in the Lord's ways. Blessed are those who walk in the Lord's ways. And the idea of walking is more than just going for a stroll. It's a way of defining your way of life. What is your walk? How do you live? What makes you you? Devin mentioned Cindy Corey's mom's service was yesterday. And in that service, one of the things they talked about was what makes Nancy Bentley, Nancy Bentley. What makes her unique and special, one of a kind, the way God designed her? That's her walk. And so we're called to be people who walk with God. We walk in the Lord's ways. What does that look like? Psalm 86, verse 11. This is David. And David's speaking to God, and he says, teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. David was a man after God's own heart. David was a mess up sometimes. A lot of times. But David's heart sought to walk with God. He wanted a life that reflected God. There's a song in Christian radio that's going around now. It says, I want my life to preach. David wanted his life to preach. He messed up sometimes, but he really wanted to be one who walked in the Lord, to walk in the Lord's truth. God speaking to Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 14. And if you walk in my ways, if you live the life of truth that I give to you and obey my statutes and commands, as David your father did, I will give you long life, a way of life, a walk. 1 John chapter 2, beginning in verse 4. The man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But anyone who obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. Verse 6, whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. Doesn't mean wearing sandals and walking on a dirt path. That means whoever wants to follow God must live the kind of life Jesus lived. Must be people who are Jesus followers. We often say in our introduction here that welcome to Glenpool Church of Christ, and we're a body of believers who reject consumerism. You know, the consumerism that's rampant in the world today. You claim what you deserve. You deserve so much and claim what you deserve. We don't belong to this church family. We don't participate in the family functions. We don't come here to worship with the question, what's in it for me? That's a very consumeristic viewpoint. Popular, but not very biblical. Instead, we have participated in the life of the church and the activities of the church and the worship of the church as in a desire, an honest desire to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, to be a follower of Him. And we express that by belonging, learning, and serving. Well, this is the idea of walking in the ways. We've got to be people who walk the way Jesus walked, who walked with Him. 2 John chapter 5, verse 6. And now, dear lady, I'm writing to you a new command. Not a new command, but one you heard from the beginning. I ask that you love one another. And this is love, that we walk in obedience to His commands. As you've heard from the beginning, His command is that you walk in love. Lifestyle. What defines you? What goes on the tombstone? What makes you who you are? Fathers, you and I bless our homes when we walk in the Lord. And that's more than just saying the right words. You ever notice the difference between people who use the word lucky and use the word blessed? Maybe that's insider speak for someone who goes to church, someone who sees coincidence, someone who sees God's providence. It's more than just putting on your nice clothes for Sunday morning. It's more than just putting money. It's all those things. But dads, we need to be people who are walking the walk and talking the talk. We need to be the real deal. Not perfect, but the real deal. When we say that we follow Christ, we need to try to follow Christ. When we say that we want to be a Christian, we need to love God with everything we have and love people like we love ourselves, which Jesus says are the two greatest commandments. We need to be people who, when we want to do something that's selfish and self-centered, we look and see what gives God the glory. Walking the walk. Walking with Him. It requires time in personal Bible study. Fathers, if you're not reading your Bible at home, repent of that. Change. Turn. It requires time in personal prayer. Just you and God talking. God talking to you through Scripture, you talking to God through prayer. It requires time with other Christians. We were made for community. We weren't made to be solo. It requires time in worship services. The good news is, the promise to fathers is if we make these things a priority, if we make walking in the truth, walking in Christ, walking with God a priority, God will bless that. Not only in our own personal lives, but in our family lives as well. When we take the time to put in the effort to walk the walk, God blesses the effort. Third, being the best dad means fearing God. Verse 1, the first part of verse 1, verse 4 speaks of those who fear the Lord. Blessed are those who fear the Lord. And I'll give you my working definition, which is very much a layman's definition because I'm a layman. If I understand fearing the Lord correctly, what it means is I fear disappointing God more than I fear disappointing anybody else. I would rather be a disappointment to everyone else in the whole world, including the people that are important to me, before I want to be a disappointment to God. I fear more than anything else being a disappointment to God. And you see this back in the days of the scriptures of the Old Testament. 1 Kings chapter 18. In 1 Kings chapter 18, Jezebel was one who was out to get rid of God's prophets. Jezebel had on her mission list to destroy all the prophets of the one true God. And so she was doing her best to exterminate God's prophets. 1 Kings 18 verse 4. And there was a man named Obadiah who worked for Jezebel and her husband King Ahab. He worked for them kind of as the administrator of the palace. Scripture says he was the governor or administrator. He was kind of the overseer of the palace. He was the headmaster there in the king's palace. And Obadiah knew that through Jezebel, there had been an edict passed down that anyone who helped the prophets of God, as they're being sought out, searched out, and systematically destroyed, anyone who helped them was subject to death. Obadiah knew that. And I don't know about you, but if I'm living in a time when somebody says, you do something, it's a death penalty, that's going to strike some fear in me. Maybe that's one reason why I don't murder. I don't want to face a death penalty. So Obadiah knew that there was a death penalty coming for this, and yet despite that, he hid 100 prophets of God in a cave to protect them. And imagine the logistics of caring for 100 hungry mouths in a cave all by yourself. This was not something he could slip a sandwich to every once in a while and be done with it. Obadiah took out this enormous task to save 100 prophets, knowing that it would a threat to his life, and if he was ever found out, he would be murdered. And yet he took care of these 100 prophets, supplying them with food and water. Why? 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 3 says, Obadiah was a devout believer in the Lord. A lot of translations read this, Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. See, Obadiah had a healthy fear of God. Obadiah would rather disappoint everyone else, including Jezebel and her husband King Ahab, including his family for being executed. He would rather disappoint everyone else than disappoint God, because he feared more than anything else letting God down. Another aspect of fearing God means letting him make the rules, letting him be Lord. I heard something the other day. I was watching one of the videos, and somebody said, most of us don't have a problem with Jesus as our Savior. I'm thankful his blood washes away my sin. I'm thankful for his body that he sacrificed on the cross for my benefit. We celebrate that in communion every week. I do struggle with him as Master. I'm celebrating him as my Savior. I struggle with him as my Master. The idea of fearing God is allowing God to be my Master, even when it's not easy. Psalm 34, in Psalm 34, the psalmist offers to teach his readers, verse 11, the fear of the Lord. And then he spends the next three verses talking about what the fear of the Lord looked like. What does that look like? And he says in Psalm 34, verses 12 through 14, whoever loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil, keep your lips from speaking lies, turn from evil, do good, seek peace, pursue it. So what does it mean to fear God? Letting God be the one who decides how we live our life, what our walk looks like, how we shape our walk, how we adjust our walk. Following God and honoring him as our Master. Letting him set the rules and living within those rules. Let's get out of the caves of the Old Testament. Let's bring it into the homes of the New Testament. There's our marching orders. What does that look like? Church and fathers, God blesses us when we have a healthy and holy fear of him. Now, guys, we're tough, macho dudes. We don't like the idea of fearing anyone or anything, except maybe talking about our feelings and spiders. But other than that, we're not afraid of anything. And yet God says we need a healthy fear of the Lord. To be the best dad possible, to have a blessed home, to guide our children, our family, to be the spiritual head of our household, we need to be people who have a godly fear of the Lord. And what does that look like? What that looks like is when the guys at work are telling stories and relating events that are unseemly and inappropriate, we don't join in. It means when your neighbors make fun of you for going to church Sunday morning instead of going to golf with them, we don't give in to the peer pressure. It means when your family tells you, well, I'm really glad you're finding this faith thing in Jesus, but just don't take it too far. We ask ourselves, if Christ died for me, what's too much to give back to him? It means we don't give in to the peer pressure. It means we don't give in to a lifestyle that doesn't glorify God and honor our family and honor our spouses. It means that more than anything else, we want to please God and honor Him, even if it comes to everyone else's displeasure. The hard part about that is our friends and our family and our neighbors, the pressure, the peer pressure is real and tangible and physical and right there in front of us. Not only that, the temptations are right there as well. Not just because of bad influence from someone else, but I don't know about you, but sometimes I don't really like to honor God's will. I don't really like to obey His will. Sometimes I like my free passes more than I do to His rules. But fearing God means I would rather disappoint the entire world than disappoint God. I want to honor Him with what I do, with what I say, with how I live. Matthew 10:28 puts it this way. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Don't be afraid of people that can just murder you. Don't be afraid of people that can take your lives. Be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. You want a healthy fear? Fear God, the one who has control of your eternal destiny. It doesn't matter what's popular. It doesn't matter what's your favorites. It doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. What matters is pleasing God. So happy Father's Day. We love you. And we honor you. Colton read it for us. Honor your father and mother, the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and you may enjoy long life on the earth. Being a father isn't easy. Many of you have heard me joke, I had hair and it was brown before I had kids. I have two wonderful daughters and two wonderful granddaughters, and God bless them. They're fantastic and they're a blessing to me, and my wife was a blessing to give me those kids. But being a father is not easy. And being a godly father is even more difficult. But today's psalm is full of blessings for the men who put in the work to be the best dads possible, who put in the work to be the kind of dads that God calls us to be. In verse 3, a godly man is likened to a fruitful vine, and his children are compared to olive shoots. That may not speak a whole lot to us, but that spoke volumes to the original readers. The idea of the grapevine is where wine comes from, and the olive tree from brings the oil that was a blessing to life. It was considered a blessing from God. And if those things were absent in the community, it was considered that God was absent from the community. And so these things are metaphors for the blessings from God that enriches people's lives. So the idea is if we follow God's plan for being the best possible dad, God blesses that with the things that enrich our lives. Verse 2, a godly man's labor is also blessed as he eats the fruit and enjoys the prosperity that his labor has provided for him. So yeah, today we say thank you to our parents and especially to our dads. Our dads who seek to walk in God's ways. Verse 5, may the Lord bless you from Zion all the days of your life, dads. And as we're giving thanks to dads, it's very profound that when God decided to try to find an image that he could give for us to understand him better, he picked fathers. God the Father. Not only is that a wonderful visual image that we can understand, a spiritual being in a way that we can understand it physically, God the Father. And so when we think back on our fathers, the very best of our fathers is just a mild reflection of who God is naturally. But we're also blessed by the God the Father when we walk in his ways, when we walk in his truth, when we walk in his light. Thank you, fathers. Happy Father's Day. In just a minute, we're going to stand and sing. That's our invitation to you. If you're at home, reach out to us. If we can serve you in any way, if you're here, we can serve you. Tell us how. Maybe you're struggling to be the father God called you to be. Maybe you just would like to spend some time in God's Word to see what his plan is for your life. Maybe there's something else on your heart that we haven't even touched on today. If this church can serve you some way, we'd be honored if you'd tell us how. Let's stand. Let's sing.